Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. I would say last 3 hours, the Packers did a lot of good stuff last night. A lot of good stuff. The defense looked very bad in the first half. Looked better in the second half. Made some adjustments. Also, Jared Goff can't play in the rain. I mean, that's true. Aaron Jones, oh, thank God he's on this team. Thank God he's back. He was so good. Rodgers, very good. That touchdown to Tonyan, shades of Greg Jennings in the Super Bowl. But I haven't been all like you rah-rah about it. And to put me back on track is our good buddy Ryan Horvath. I think that, first of all, let me just start with my main complaint. I'm getting tired of Aaron Rodgers, dude.
Shut up.
Like, I know he was great last night, but the way he acts in these press conferences, like, he's like doing performance art to one of his friends. Like, just be a normal person. I'm getting real tired of him.
He's a complicated fella.
Yeah, he is. And it's making me enjoy watching him less.
Oh, I love him.
You love that he now swears in his press conferences to act like a tough guy? You love that he cuts people off when they're trying to ask him a question? You love that he's so worried about the trolls and he's wondering, how could people doubt us after a week where we lost to a team worse than the Lions by 35 points?
Dude, whatever it takes for him to go out there, throw four touchdowns, no picks, run the offense, hit the open man, make unbelievable plays, entertain me for 3.5 to 4 hours. You know, some of us, during our miserable weeks, we get that 4 hours of enjoyment where we get to sit back and watch one of the greatest do it. And so no matter what you think about the guy, plus, yeah, I do kind of like that stuff at the press conference. It's much better than some of these guys. Oh, gee shucks, you know, I just went out there and I chucked that thing up and I just hoped for the best. It was a 50-50 shot. I don't want to hear the same thing over and over. I'd rather hear him get a little bit snippy. Plus, let's be honest, it makes everybody's job in the media much easier. Like, you know, at ESPN now, or, you know, really anywhere.
Me?
You get the cup. What's that?
Me.
Well, you, but I don't know why you haven't, like, who cares? I'm not going to lie. Also, didn't even watch the press conference. Came home, watch the game again. You know, I already know how that press. I feel like not only have I seen the press conference 100 times, like with Rodgers, like I know exactly what he's going to say. Let's be honest. And we're going to hear it all on, I am going to watch him on McAfee. And even if I don't, all the beat writers are going to, you know, report and transcribe everything he says on social media. So if I go on Twitter, I'm going to see every comment he has for Pat McAfee regardless. You know what I mean? So not only have I feel like I've seen that same Lions game every year twice for the last 20 years of my life. Haven't you a little, like, didn't last night seem like every Packers Lions game, especially like the primetime ones ever, where, like, they go down early to the Lions and you're thinking, oh my God, how embarrassing is this going to be? I'm going to get all these texts and a bunch of people bothering me if they lose on prime
time. Matt LaFleur ices a kicker in the first half and you think those points are going to matter, but then they clearly didn't.
Right, but, like, they go down, like, the first two scripted drives for Detroit always look good. They always score. And then Rodgers and the Packers end up pulling away in the second half. Like, I feel like I've literally seen that game 100 times. And then next week, they go on the road to take on the 49ers. Maybe you could tell me how this works. Maybe I'm the idiot here. How do they always have to go on the road to play San Francisco? Why doesn't San Francisco ever actually have to come to Green Bay? Like, am I missing something?
No, I think that the schedule, there's a reason for it. But it does seem like there's been at least one year where they typed it into the computer wrong, where, like, a game's supposed to be in Green Bay and the guy actually typed at instead of versus.
It's always when, like, San Francisco stinks that they come to Green Bay. Like the year that Rodgers had, like, all, like, McCarthy's last year, you know, and it was C.J. Beathard at quarterback because, you know, Garoppolo was already dead. Or it was, like, you know, the year we, like, that finally, like, they lost all the guys on the defensive side of the ball and Kaepernick had, like,
this happened
nobody.
With the Cowboys in the 90s. We'd always go down to Dallas and lose, and then they came here in, like, 97 or 98, and it was the showdown in Titletown, and the Packers beat them by, like, 30. But the Cowboys were a shell of themselves at that point.
Yeah, exactly. It was like
when starting, like, Quincy Carter or something.
Exactly. It was like when Jordan finally beat the Pistons, but they were all like 52 years old. Like Bill Laimbeer was like 60. So, yeah, I mean, I just feel like this game's always in San Fran. And, man, that's why week one was so important. It sucks that they lost that game and laid an egg because it'd be really nice to be 2-0. I'll tell you, I know it's just the Detroit Lions, but it's much easier to wake up in the morning for me after a Packers W. And I know you're down on them right now because they're not from Milwaukee and you hate Aaron Rodgers, but, man. Some of those throws that he made last night were ridiculous. The deep ball, obviously, to Devontae, but that throw he had to Tonyan, it was like, oh, yeah, he still got it. And when he pointed to his arm, I was like, all right, they're back on. The thing that scares me, if this was the cliche morning show, you could do the good, the bad, the ugly. The good, Aaron Rodgers and the offense officially back. Aaron Jones, like, that's how you got to get him involved in the offense. I do wish that Jamal Williams was still the second running back over A.J. Dillon. I just think he's much better in pass pro, too. But they're really not using A.J. Dillon a whole lot yet, so it's too early to judge there. The bad, I feel like, honestly, what was the upgrade over Mike Pettine? Literally, it's the same exact defense. Like, in the second half, they did make some adjustments, finally sent some pressure, but I felt like I was watching the same thing. Like, dude's playing 10 yards off the ball. The ugly is Kevin King should never be on the field again. I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I was like, okay, it's a contract year. Let's see if this guy, if he could stay healthy, if he could actually play. Since 2 years ago, he did lead the team in interceptions. He's the worst defensive back in all of pro football, and I really mean that. Like, literally, he bites on the same routes over and over. He's like the definition of insanity. He never learns from his mistakes. I would rather have Stokes out there. I get that, unfortunately, like, Kevin King has to play, and especially in nickel. But my God, is he terrible. He's a liability out there. He's going to cost – this season's going to end with Kevin King having a defensive holding call again, or it's going to end with Tampa Bay picking up Richard Sherman, and he's going to pick off Rodgers in the NFC title game. I just have this weird feeling. I don't know what Richard Sherman has left in the tank, but 40% of Richard Sherman, even if he's mentally insane right now, is better than whatever Kevin King brings to the table. He sucks.
I know. I want to get back to the defense in a minute. Do you remember after the NFC Championship game? Like, I was bummed, but then I really didn't get pissed about that game until after the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, when I saw Tampa win it, then I really got pissed about the NFC Championship game. That's how I feel right now about the Saints. Like, I'm more mad this week after a win about the Saints loss than I was a week ago. Like, now I just saw what you can do. Why didn't you do that last week? And this, like, oh, well, they used it as the preseason. Why are we accepting that? You came in there, and you laid an egg, and you got beat by 35, which maybe point differential plays a factor later. I don't know. To play like that was so terrible, but, oh, well, it's, you know, it's whatever. You can't just give away games like this. So I'm more mad now than I was a week ago.
No, same here. And they're lucky, like, they're in the NFC North. And
well, yeah, remember, that's my getting rewarded for bad behavior take. They gave away the game because they can. There's no consequence to losing to the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if they're in the same division as the Niners, the Rams, the Cardinals, where, like, literally every team could win double-digit games. Luckily, you know, I know the Bears picked up a win, but it was against the Bengals, and Joe Burrow did something that I've never seen. Well, this first time in NFL history, a dude threw back-to-back-to-back interceptions. It was insane. Two of those on him, too. But still, they're in the worst – they might be in one of the worst divisions in all of football. Toby's Washington football team's in the worst division in all of football, in my opinion. But in the NFC North, like, you could get away with that. But still, I'm with you. And, like, think of it like this. The other thing is, man, even in the NFC North, like, it's football. It's not the NBA. So there's not 82 games, or it's not like Major League Baseball where, you know, Craig Counsell could pull a pitcher after five innings. But, like, you look at it like this. Like, what if injuries happen all the time? You know what I mean? What if a couple guys get dinged up and you take a couple bad losses? Or, you know, knock on wood, somebody's out for like 5 to 6 weeks. You're ready without Bakhtiari. Exactly. You can't give wins away. So they should have showed up for that game. The only good takeaway, like the only thing that like helps me get over it a little bit is if the Saints don't win that game, we never get that quote from Jameis Winston where he's like, it's like my offensive coach has told me, you know, what did they tell me again? Oh, you just got to stay prepared. That was probably the best moment of the NFL season so far.
Yeah, that was funny.
Got to give him credit.
I do give him credit, for sure. Yeah, Jones was great. Rodgers was great. I mean, he played great last night. Devontae was good. The line was good. You know, the defense got better in the second half.
I actually got a beef with Rodgers, though.
Oh, thank God. What?
He missed MVS a couple times, and it would have made me a bunch of money. On the goal line where Rodgers doesn't set his feet and just fires one at MVS's legs. Got to get MVS the ball, man. MVS has been running really good
routes. No, they really screwed me in some fantasy leagues.
Same here. And you got to reward MVS because even like last night, I know that he doesn't like three targets, no grabs. I think I don't have the box score in front of me, but I think that was his final line. And it's like, dude, even him just getting those three targets, even when he doesn't catch the ball or has no grabs, I mean, that's like you need him on the field because he's the dude that's, you know, kind of like taking the top off the defense. So Devontae and some of those other guys could free up, even though they're still double and triple teaming Devontae. I like how they're moving him around a little bit more this year in the slot. But still, like MVS being on the field is so important. So Rodgers has to find a way to get him the football. He knows that. You got to reward him with a couple touchdowns next week. I know you love Devontae, but, you know, you got to get MVS some love, too. I did not know that I wasn't on Twitter yesterday and I had a bunch going on. So I didn't know St. Brown was back on the roster. When he caught that ball, I was like, the hell? St. Brown's back?
Yeah, they can bring up one guy off the practice squad every game because of we're playing through a pandemic. So that's like their I don't know. It's a pandemic rule.
It was weird though. I was like, oh, I thought it was Cobb again. I was like, Cobb again. And I was like, wait. Let's see, Brown.
What is the point of having Cobb on this team?
Cobb with a couple nice grabs last night. I know it was like three for absolutely nothing, but I thought that those were big, getting him on the field.
We're paying him like $7 million to what? Be Rodgers' conversation compadre? There's another word.
On the broadcast last night, I wanted to talk about this.
I watched the Manning one.
What'd you say?
I watched the Manning brothers.
Oh, see, yeah, I listened to myself talk for 4 hours, but when I got home, I forgot to DVR that one. I'll go back and watch it. But on the broadcast, so I love Jamal Williams, and I miss him. I wish there was a way that you could bring him back with Aaron Jones, but, I mean, you rarely pay one running back, let alone two, so it wasn't happening. They made it sound on the broadcast last night, Steve Levy, like, he made it sound like Jamal Williams, like he just kept talking over and over, like both of them on the broadcast are like, and they're missing Jamal Williams a great deal this year. You can't replace what Jamal Williams brought to the table, and the Packers are figuring that out this year. And I kept thinking in my head, like, I love Jamal Williams, and yeah, they'll probably miss him at times this year, but it's been 1 week.
Our running back had four touchdowns last night.
What'd you say?
Our running back had four touchdowns last night.
Well, yeah, that's what I don't understand. I was like, okay, what does Jamal Williams change about last week against New Orleans? you know, maybe more energy in the locker room. I was like, what are they talking about right now? I didn't understand that exactly. And Aaron Jones had 4 touchdowns. They're like, and you can't replace what they're really missing Jamal Williams right now. And I was like, are we maybe in pass pro a little bit, but I don't think so.
Like, we're missing, like, he's funny and he's a nice dude. We miss that.
Right. It's not like we're missing, like, David Bakhtiari right now.
Yeah, we're missing competent defenders that can rush the passer.
I'm missing Mike Pettine right now.
Yeah, I got a little flack today because I was saying that a lot of the defensive adjustments in the second half, the biggest adjustment was that it started raining. Because then Jared Goff can't handle a wet football.
It's kind of true.
Jason's sharing this with me, and I did hear this last night. LaFleur said that he told defensive coordinator Joe Barry to either play coverage or get after the quarterback because playing man and sending 4 in the first half wasn't creating any pressure. Barry then started to bring pressure more in the second half, and it helped. Yeah, LaFleur, like, didn't tell Barry what to do, but he told him he had to pick one at halftime. He's like, whatever you're doing is not working. So they did bring a little more pressure, but also, like, Jared Goff, the first time they had the ball, he fumbled the snap.
Yeah, I wish that some of the reporters in Green Bay, like, weren't always, like, trying to, like, be best friends with everybody and, like, really got to I need to know why Joe Barry is really the defensive coordinator. Did they really just want Leonard that bad that they, like, put all the eggs in that basket? I could see, Matt LaFleur knows Joe Barry, likes him. I could see Matt LaFleur attempting to kill Joe Barry by week 8. Can't you? LaFleur, like, when they showed – remember when he used to be, like, happy when they'd show him every once in a while on the sideline? He looks like he's ready to, like, murder somebody at most times. I mean, rightfully so. I mean, they didn't have a lead on the Lions until the third quarter of that game. But – I don't know. I feel like what I'm seeing from Joe Barry is literally the same thing that I've seen from the Packers other than 2016 for the last decade, no?
Yeah, but I do wonder, you know, how much of that is Joe Barry, how much of that is talent, because people do forget that the defensive line for the Packers sucks.
No, I mean, like, it's honestly so terrible, and that's why I don't understand why you couldn't, like, honestly just add one dude. I don't know, like, who's on the streets right now? Like, and not Snacks Harrison. I'm not going through that.
They worked out your boy Taco Charlton.
Fine. Like, honestly. Is Alden Smith okay? Like, is he mentally, like, all right now? Like, that's the thing. Like, they gotta start going after some of these dudes where, like, nobody wants to touch them, because if they don't, then you know Tampa Bay's going to. And how the hell does Tampa Bay even have more money? Like, I get that Richard Sherman will pretty much be free at this point, but how are they gonna sign Richard Sherman? They'll probably end up with, like, Alden Smith, all these guys. That's what Green Bay has to go after some. I'm sure Tyler Lancaster and Dean Lowry are nice, and I'm sure that they'll be on the Packers alum bus, and they'll be, you know, high-fiving kids and signing autographs and signing cheeseheads. But those dudes suck, man. Like, we got to be honest with ourselves. I do not want to watch another season where Rodgers and the offense put up 40 points on the board. You know, even if 34 of them come in the second half when the team's in nickel and the defense can't get off the field. And
I, like, don't want to be too mean on Lowry, because you know that in, like, 5 years it's going to be Rami and Lowry in the afternoons, weekdays, 3 to 6 on the Fan.
Nobody talks more sports than Dean Lowry on the Fan. Seriously, though. Dude, I mean, like, you know, again, sure, he's a nice guy. And every 4 weeks, you know, he even makes a play, but I don't know. They need some more guys up front. That's the thing. Like, the Packers defense, like, last year, they would give up, like, huge yardage plays, right? And everybody would get in the red zone. But the one thing Pettine was able to do was force other teams to kick field goals. Or every once in a while, they'd get a takeaway. Like, that's what they're going to have to do. Last night in the second half, you know, I want to believe that maybe they have the ability to take the football away. Because that's the NFL. Like, everybody gives up big yardage. You know what I mean? Like, every defense in the league. Look at the Ravens, you know? Everybody was hyping up the Washington football team as, like, the best defense since the 85 Bears for some reason. You know, with Montez Sweat and Chase Young on that defensive line. And even they're struggling to get pressure right now. That's just, like, the NFL. But they just got to take the football away. And pretty much, you got to find a way to keep Kevin King on the sidelines. He really is that bad. Like, I thought maybe it was just an injury again last year. He had the back stuff going on, but I think it's just, like, I think he stinks. I just think he's too slow.
Kevin King, more like Kevin freaking terrible.
More like Chandler Bing, you know?
More like Chenandler Bong.
Like, and you know what I appreciate about Kevin King, though? And I said this last night during our broadcast. You throw at Kevin King, you target, like, the receiver that he's covering 10 times, the guy's going to catch 8 balls. One of them's going to be a terrible throw, and the other's going to be a pretty bad throw, but Kevin King's going to, like, make a play on the dude. He is going to celebrate like he is Deion Sanders back in 96. Is he not?
Hey, what's like, he like God doing a show guy during a Packer game? Like, during the game?
Like, God bless his confidence in himself. Like, literally, Scotty Miller will torch him for 8 grabs, 167 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But when he breaks up that ball that Brady soars into the stands and tackles Scotty Miller to the ground, he will get up and, you know, shake it all over the place. Stokes looked pretty good last night. More of him. He made some plays. And he even week one, he had that forced incompletion. In the preseason, same thing a couple times against the Jets. I remember one on third down. So I think they got to get him some more run, a little bit less Kevin King. Hopefully they figure these things out. And maybe they find – there's got to be somebody on the practice squad that could get after the quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, every year in the league, there's this dude that comes out of nowhere with double digits.
Yeah, Jack Heflin.
Yeah, Jack Heflin. Anybody. Anybody that could –
Jack Heffelfinger.
They don't even got to sack the quarterback. Like, I'm looking for like small upgrades. Like, we don't even need a dude with double digit sacks. We just need some hurries and some pressures. Like, seriously, like more from Rashawn Gary. Preston Smith every once in a while will make a play, and then I'll be like, wait, Preston Smith's on this team? So at least they're not dropping him back in coverage on tight ends anymore.
Horvath's on BetMGM tonight every night on the Odyssey app. What's it like doing a show during a Packer game?
Yeah, that was pretty intense because I don't even like to watch the games with people. So,
yeah, and you got to watch it with Trista Crick.
Trista, Quentin Mayo will be back on Thursday night. I already forgot who plays on Thursday night.
Panthers in Houston.
Oh, Christ. nice. it was okay because it was against the Lions. If it was against like Tampa Bay, if it was against like the Rams, wouldn't want to do it ever. You know, fortunately, it's part of the job. You know, sometimes the Packers are going to play on Monday nights.
Packers.
Thursday nights. The Packers return to the Monday night football field. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I would rather be at home for the game, but it was what it was. It would have been a lot better if MVS catches that touchdown and wins me the plus 220 prop. Or if Jamal Williams was able to get in the end zone. Not a great revenge tour for Jamal Williams.
Oh, dude, I told people yesterday, stay away from Jamal. He ain't going to do anything.
Why did you say that, though? I thought he was going to have a huge game. He had, like, 8 grabs the week before.
No, because Jamal, like, 7 for 25, 3 for 12. That's what Jamal is. Everyone's thinking, like, all Steve Levy. Like, Jamal is this 100-yard-per-game rusher we let get away. He's not. I mean, he's good, but DeAndre, he's not even the best back on their team.
No, probably not. That'd probably be Swift. The Lions are terrible. Like, we still know nothing about the Packers. Got to be honest. Like,
we know nothing.
What the hell do we?
Nothing.
What did we learn last night besides Aaron Rodgers still really good?
Nothing.
Aaron Jones still really good. Devontae probably the best, definitely the best receiver in the league. Tonyan emerging as a top 10 tight end in the league. He's already there.
Yeah, that's good. I liked that out of him yesterday. That there was. I mean, obviously he caught a touchdown, but I want to see him catch more. I want to see him catch more balls between the 20s. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Got to get him involved, which leads me to ask this question again. I don't want to be the jerk. Why did they draft Josiah DeGuara in the third round? And I mean, you know, my prayers for the guy that can't stay healthy. But what sense did that really make? I mean, when they already had Mercedes Lewis, who you knew you were just going to keep coming back until he just wants to retire because he's such a good locker room guy. And he's pretty much he's one of your better offensive linemen right now. And you have Tonyan, who I want him as a Packer forever. Dude's awesome. And he works out with George Kittle and all those dudes. So, like, every summer I'm watching this guy's workout videos, and he's literally putting in work. He gets better every year. So why would you draft another dude? And I don't want to hear because he's an H-back or whatever, because
I think that
literally
they meant to draft someone else, but, like, the pen got fudged, and the closest name that it looked like when it reached the 345 Park Avenue offices was they're like, I guess Josiah DeGuara is the closest name that this looks like. So give him that guy. And they're like, give him that guy. He's a tight end for Cincinnati. He's probably not even going to get drafted. And rumor has it, he's at his mom's house right now sleeping upstairs. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, and I like A.J. Dillon, man. I really do, and I love that he loves Door County and he wants to move there when his career's over and he's got huge legs. That's a tremendous story. But in the second round, when you're going to pay Aaron Jones all that money, and I like Hill a lot. Like, I mean, you know, Dexter Williams was probably trash, but, I mean, he's probably good enough to give you 4 yards on third down every other snap, you know, or every other, you know, drive. It's like I watch that defense, and I'm like, you got to start drafting some dudes that aren't corners on this side of the ball. You know, okay, so Rashawn Gary a couple of years ago, but he was kind of a project, even though I do like Rashawn Gary. You know, they were trying to figure out ways to just get him on the field because you would just sign Preston and Zadarius. I don't know. Kenny Clark needs some help. I've seen enough Dean Lowry for, like, my next 10 lifetimes.
Somebody's tweeting me asking to talk about how Kenny Clark is overrated.
Man, I mean, I don't think so. I think Kenny Clark's a good player.
The problem is Kenny Clark, we don't know what he does because he eats up so much of the coverage. Like, he gets double teamed a bunch. So the reason you have a Kenny Clark is to let your other guys shine, but the Packers' other guys can't even shine on accident because they're so bad. Like, you have Kenny Clark so that guys like Dean Lowry can look good. Remember the year that, what was it, Clay Matthews and Nick Perry. And Nick Perry was only good in the games where Clay Matthews played because Clay took the attention away and Nick Perry had a bunch of sacks. And then Dean Lowry can't even be as good as one-armed Nick Perry.
Nick Perry balled out 1 year. He had double-digit sacks, got himself paid, and then was like, yeah, I'm out.
He never even signed on like a practice squad. He didn't play anywhere.
Well, that's the thing, dude. And then we watch these other guys around the league, and it's like Vita. But they have
Nick
like
Perry's
so
only
on
31, right? What is he doing?
Well, he's not good. I mean, and
but he got
hurt.
Released in March of 2019, and that's it. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't try out with anyone. He didn't get a contract anywhere. Should the Packers bring back Nick Perry? 799.
This may be controversial, but have you noticed that like all those USC linebackers that were like 235 pounds, like pure muscle, just like muscle on muscle. They're all just out of the league mysteriously. They all were like into their early 30s. And I know that, you know, the NFL life, the shelf life, these dudes are retiring younger and younger. But all those guys, like Cushing, Clay, Nick Perry, all those USC guys, all out of the league early. The majority of them were popped for performing enhancing drugs. So that's not even that controversial. I mean, the one dude from the Texans, Brian Cushing or whatever, he got popped like twice after he won Rookie of the Year. So maybe his body is just breaking down a little bit, you know?
Mike the Painter tweeted at Winks Thinks, get over at Aaron Rodgers, act at the podium, enjoy the show on the field like our buddy at Ryan. Don't at Rodgers in that. I want to be able to rip on him without him being aware.
So, wait, Mike, he tweeted at Rodgers?
Yeah, he tweeted at Rodgers that I'm ripping
off. I love him. That's great. So, Rodgers, imagine, I always wonder about that. Like, obviously, these guys aren't paying attention, right? Because there's like a billion tweets coming in. But you have the blue check mark. So, imagine Rodgers.
Well,
just, like,
he's
waking up right
now. Okay, yeah.
Imagine Rodgers just getting out of bed and he hears do, 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 do. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go play a little guitar. You know, drink my protein shake, do my 100 squats, and drink my coffee and go watch film. And he sees Mike the Painter tweeting that some guy named at Winks Things is talking crap about him after he just went out there after 4 touchdowns, no picks. And that's what he was talking about at the press conference. About the trolls and the haters, yeah. and you're like, yeah. You know, what's he talking about with the trolls and the haters? And that's the first thing he wakes up to is a photo of Mike the Painter talking about how Bart Winkler out in Milwaukee is tearing into him after he threw 4 touchdowns.
Yeah,
that's why he's emo, Rodgers.
Yeah,
I'm
part of the problem.
Thing, you know what I mean?
I did it.
That's the thing. I remember when Aaron was just, you know, a regular guy, you know, we'd see him at Bucks games, just wearing a Bucks hat. You'd see him at a Brewers game or out at a nightclub. Now,
I broke
we've ridiculed them so much. The Wendy's Big Show has ridiculed them so much about his NFC title record, ignoring the fact that every year we're a game away from the Super Bowl and we get to watch our team two more weeks than anybody else does. And we have a Super Bowl with this guy. But we have turned him into now an acoustic guitar playing, headband wearing, long haired. Let's be honest. He looks like Matthew McConaughey in True Detective. Freak show. And this is what we've done to our quarterback, who rewarded us with the Super Bowl. One more Super Bowl than Bears or Vikings fans will see for the next 30 years. Or Lions fans. Lions are never winning a Super Bowl. I came to that conclusion last night. Like, they're trying to build a football team for 1994. They have a great offensive line, two running backs, and they're just like, yeah, we don't really need wide receivers. Quintus Cephas could block downfield. He played at Wisconsin. They're literally building a football team like to try to compete against the 85 Bears.
Ryan Wood's coming up, so I'm going to let you go on that note.
Peace.
Horvat, we'll talk Friday. We'll do our picks, and we'll preview the big Bucky-Notre Dame matchup.
I thought you just said the F word. Yes, we will. I don't know what to do with that because Notre Dame is 5.5-point underdogs.
Yeah, that's weird.
Last time I watched Graham Mertz against a real defense, he urinated down his leg and made me look like an idiot for calling him a Heisman candidate.
Well, Godspeed to you, sir. We'll talk on Friday.
All right, man. Have a good day.
See you, buddy. Ryan Horvat. Check him out. BetMGM tonight. You can check it out tonight again on the Odyssey app.
An Odyssey station.
We'll talk with Ryan Wood. I'm going to ask Ryan Wood if he enjoys covering Rodgers or if he's sick of this act. And also football stuff.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Coming up.
It's time to find out the latest from Green Bay with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by the Thomas Marola Law Offices.
Divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola. Online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
Yeah, and if he's playing good, I expect those guys next to him to be locked in as well. I'm not done yet. Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead.
I apologize.
That's okay.
I just was going to ask the comment you made about trying to show you like you care a little bit more. Did it look, obviously you cared last week, but did it, you feel like it looked like you didn't last week? Is that kind of what you're implying?
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
A little bit of Aaron Rodgers after the game on Monday, so watch the game, enjoy the game, listen to the press conferences, see if there's anything, you know, for talking points, and you want to hear what they say anyway. And Rodgers is up there doing whatever. And I got to be honest, as we bring in Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, it's how I started the show after the win, because I just, whatever he does, like Rodgers, it ruins my enjoyment of watching him play when he does like this Joker performance art as if he's like doing inside jokes for so, like, do you enjoy covering him, I guess, is what I'm asking, because I'm getting annoyed with him.
I really do. I feel like sometimes, just to be honest, that I'm in the minority of people that really dig Aaron Rodgers' personality, but I dig it. I ain't gonna lie.
Well, yeah, if you say the words, I dig it, then you seem to jive right along with this freak weirdo.
Does that mean that I annoy you too, Bart?
No, I'm kind of surprised. Well, you know, as a writer, I mean, yeah, Rodgers is great. This dude is complicated.
He is great. Yeah.
You never know what's happening with this guy. My problems with Rodgers, he always acts like he's three steps ahead of everybody when he's like right where we all are. Or he's always acting like there's something mysterious that we don't know, or like he's trying too hard to make it seem like he doesn't care when he totally cares. Like, I'm mad about the last 2 weeks for the bigger issue. I'm picking on his press conference. But I'm mad about the last 2 weeks. I'm mad about last week losing to the Saints and then just being like, oh, whatever, just 1 week. And then you win this week and it's like, this will shut up the trolls, but it's still 1 week. I'm mad that, you know, they treated the first game like a preseason game. Why is that okay? Why you lost a football game and they're not going to get penalized for it because the NFC North is worse than ever. So it's not going to matter to you that you were allowed to do it. I just think I'm mad. I'm mad at the whole thing. That's where I'm at.
You're pretty angry for a guy who just saw the Packers win 35-17 last night.
Oh, listeners are letting me have it, too. Because everybody wanted to, you know. I've talked about all the good stuff. But, dude, they're going to go to San Francisco and lose. We're going to be 1-2.
Likely. I'll agree with you on that. And, you know, Pittsburgh, the week after, is no cupcake either. Look, I don't think that we really know what this team is going to be yet. I don't think that we're going to know in September. And I don't think that this was ever about September for this team. I don't think they looked at this as wanting to play their best football in September. I mean, they sure aren't. But last night they did against the Lions what they should do against a bad team, which was, granted, after a slow start, they beat them up pretty good in the second half. Aaron Rodgers had 5 incompletions and 4 touchdown passes. Pretty good. Granted, one of those touchdown passes was basically a run on one of those jet passes to Aaron Jones, but he said it last night. He played with much better timing, and he did play with much better timing than he did against the Saints, and that's everything for Aaron Rodgers, especially at this point in his career. If he's on time, he's accurate. He's accurate. He's deadly, and that's what he was last night. As far as the way that Aaron Rodgers carries himself, look, I've got no problem with confidence if you can back it up. It's the people in this world that have that kind of confidence and can't back it up, and there's plenty of them. There's plenty of them.
Me!
That really irritate me. Aaron Rodgers, he knows who he is, and he acts like it, and as long as he backs it up, I personally don't have a problem with that.
Well, I just want to set the record straight. I don't have a problem with you at all. You're like the one guy up there I actually like, so.
Oh, I appreciate you too, Bart.
Packers get the.
I think we just had a moment here.
Yeah, if we were like together in a room, we might have like touched hands or something. That was nice.
Fist bump.
Yeah, fist bump would be good. I was thinking of like Okay, whatever. The Packers win. The offense, I'm going to give, so as like, I am trashing Rodgers on the press conference stuff. I am praising him for the way that he played. Obviously, no duh. You just laid out his stats. He was great. The Robert Tonyan touchdown looked like the Greg Jennings touchdown in Super Bowl 45, which was his best game ever. And then also, the Lions clearly were going to try to run a certain defense against them, the same that the Saints ran. And all Rodgers had to do to win that game was be patient, and he could take a shot when it unveiled itself. And when it unveiled himself, it took a shot. He got Devontae third down and long, single coverage. He took the shot. He had some shots to MVS. You know, he's kicking himself that he missed those. But he was patient. He let Aaron Jones do a lot of the work. He found, you know, Bobby Tonyan when he needed to. He worked Randall Cobb into it. I think that last night on offense was a good example of, you know, what we thought this team could look like when LaFleur was first hired. How are you going to meld LaFleur's offense and their strategies with what Rodgers can do? I can't say enough about the offense last night.
It was the offense that they had last year, almost all of last year, unless they were playing a team from Tampa. This was the offense that led the league in scoring last year, and as great as Aaron Rodgers was, and as great as Devontae Adams was, 8 catches, 121 yards, had the 50-yard bomb, it was all about the running game. And it's just, it's always, even now, it's still kind of startling that on a team that has an offense that has the reigning NFL MVP, the reigning best receiver in the game, Aaron Jones is the engine that makes it all go. If he erupts, and he did last night with 4 touchdowns, this offense is at its peak. If he doesn't, the rest of the offense suffers because of it. So getting Aaron Jones on track was everything, and they obviously did, and both as a runner and in the passing game. And they might have stumbled upon, you know, this solution for the blueprint, I'm using air quotes, the blueprint defense that they're going to see week in and week out. The Lions used a lot of two-shell last night, just like the Saints did the previous week. And when you do that, one, got to run the ball. So it was obviously extremely important that Matt LaFleur stayed committed to the run game, even when they fell behind 7-0 before ever getting the ball. He stuck with the run game. But two, if the defense is going to play 2 deep safeties, that leaves a linebacker underneath to cover your running back. And Aaron Jones against just about any linebacker in the league is a mismatch in coverage. So he was last night, and I think that you're going to see more and more of this until defenses break out of the two-shell look, is Aaron Jones as a receiver and what he can do out of the backfield catching the football. So, look, the running game sets up everything else for this offense. It did in 2020. It's why it's a big reason Aaron Rodgers was so dangerous on the way to winning his third MVP last year, was because of the running game. It opens things up for Devontae Adams, and you saw that again last night.
You're also seeing, I think, the offensive line exceed expectations for being without David Bakhtiari. You know, Rodgers runs into a sack there, but the offensive line, I think, Ryan's, it's holding up pretty well.
It really is. You know, Aaron Rodgers said that he stepped into a couple sacks last night. He's been sacked 4 times in 2 games, which is on pace to be quite a bit more than, I mean, that's 32 sacks in the season on pace. He had was sacked 21 times last year, so quite a bit more. But he said that it was really on him. He took responsibility for that, and he took responsibility for going 0-for-3 on deep shots to MVS. Those are the 2 things that he took a lot of responsibility for. He said it killed him that he missed MVS. He was open 3 times. He overshot him 3 times. So MVS, 4 targets, 0 catches last night. Really, Aaron Rodgers said it was more on him than the receiver. But as far as the offensive line goes, the pass protection was frankly pretty good against the Saints. It was one of the few areas on offense that wasn't a major problem against the Saints. It was pretty good last night. The difference last night was in the run game. They got a lot more push up front than they did against New Orleans, and that's obviously going to be important because, again, you've got to be able to run the ball against two-shell defense.
So we can talk about the offense, and then on the other side of the ball, there's the defense making, at least in the first 5.5 quarters of the season, Jameis Winston and Jared Goff looking really good. I think, yeah, Joe Barry made some adjustments at halftime. The biggest adjustment was it started raining because then Jared Goff couldn't hang on to the football. How what did you see with the adjustments with Joe Barry? How much better did that defense play in the second half, or did the weather have a bigger role to play than I think we're talking about?
The weather, and then also the fact that the Packers got a lead and were able to control that game. You know, the defense can't hurt you if the offense is on the field, right? And that was a big part of the second half. The offense got going. They were staying on the field and kept Joe Barry's defense on the sideline because it has not looked good. The first four possessions for the Lions last night, two touchdowns and a field goal. And granted, they didn't get anything after halftime. And they finally got a couple turnovers, although without Za'Darius Smith, it's going to be tough sledding from a pass rush standpoint, getting any real pressure or getting home on the quarterback. It just ain't happening with any regularity whatsoever. That's a problem. But look, they've got to get better. And the fact that Matt LaFleur was the one that had to tell Joe Barry either blitz to generate some pressure or play coverage, because this four-man pressure with man on the backside, you're getting eaten alive. The fact that he had to say that at halftime, not promising. You know, that there was no real adjustment until then. So it's got to get better. And I think the big question is this. It's only two games. And any other year, two games, such a small sample size, there's nothing but patience, especially with a new coordinator hire in two games. But this was a top 10 defense last year. Matt LaFleur made the decision to move on to Joe Barry to take the next step, not to regress. And everyone knows the Packers are all in. It's Super Bowl or bust in 2021. There might not be a 2022 contending window for this team. So if there's not a significant improvement in soon, the leash, the patience could get awfully thin with Joe Barry. I think that'd be very fascinating to watch going forward.
How do you play Kevin King and not have him be a negative on the defense? Like, this is like, you got to hide him like you would hide the worst player on your team in left field growing up.
Well, they tried to put him in the slot last night, which is just really bizarre, because usually you get smaller, quicker corners in the slot. Usually your bigger leverage corners are on the outside, where you can use that length against the sideline, and they're usually stuck on the perimeter. And so it was interesting to see him inside. You know, I don't understand why Jaire Alexander's not getting more slot snaps. All this offseason talk about Joe Barry's defense, the biggest schematic talking point was the star position. And it's named that. The slot corner position is named the star position because the way that position, Joe Barry's defense, is supposed to be able to impact the game. And I understand the benefit or the appeal to having Jaire Alexander on the outside and just take away half the field. He's that type of corner. He's got that kind of coverage. You just take away half the field. But he could do so much more as a player. His speed, he's undersized, but he's really tough against the run. His speed as a blitzer, as someone who can be used in that type of role for a defense that frankly needs some creativity when it comes to the pass rush, it's surprising that Jaire Alexander hasn't been the one in the slot more. I wonder if that'll change going forward. But as far as Kevin King goes, they try to put him in the slot. That's a way to get your top three corners. I mean, you want to get your top three corners on the field. It's Jaire Alexander, Kevin King, Eric Stokes, in some order behind Alexander. So they're trying to do that. I've been a staunch defender of Kevin King for years now. Packers fans have always had an issue, and you understand why, with Ted Thompson, the late Ted Thompson, drafting Kevin King over T.J. Watt. That's going to sting more and more and more as T.J. Watt became a star. But when you look at it, Kevin King's been a pretty good corner. He's really never struggled more in his career than these past two games in the NFC Championship game going last year. This has been about the lowest he's played. You wonder about his confidence, and he's been a good corner in this league. He's got to find a way to return to that.
Yeah, he's got to do it quick, because it's been rough for him. Ryan Wood, we will catch up on Thursday, preview this Niners game, which I think a lot of us are dreading, but we will talk then.
try to find some joy, Bart. Try to find some joy.
You know, I think you've brought me joy.
I've never had anyone ever in my life say that. So, hey, this is a big day for me.
Yeah, me too. All right, thanks, Ryan.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com. He's on Twitter, BY Ryan Wood, by Ryan Wood on Twitter. Window Select will send you to these games. Ryan Wood, hey, that's why you be in the media. You get to go to every game. Well, you can go to a game at Lambeau Field. Window Select, a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers, and they've extended. They got more. They got more tickets to give you guys. So when you have a consultation, Window Select will come out for a free consultation, and that's how they go over what you need, check the windows, see where the improvements can be, show you how they're going to help lower the energy costs with the heating and cooling bills, you know, throughout the year with the more durable windows that don't leak. These are the highest quality energy efficient windows that you're going to find anywhere. They'll go over the doors. You can do customizable doors. They can get you new siding. They can do all that, and they set you up with a consultation. And once they do a consultation with you, then they set you up with a couple of Packer tickets. Now, this is an offer that they have that you don't have to pay anything for. They just come out and show you what they can do. They're thinking that you're going to like our product. And if you need window siding and doors and we show you what we can do, you're going to go with us. Plus all the great deals. I mean, they couldn't, especially this week, they couldn't make it more affordable unless they just gave it away for free, which they're getting close. They're getting close. Installation is free this week. You don't have to pay for installation at all this week. 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. Get it on the books. Buy one, get one on the windows, no matter how many windows you buy. And no payments for a full year. Windowselect.com. 262-703-3500. Okay, well, the Packers won. You wouldn't know it by listening to this show. Was I too hard on the Packers today, Toby? I got to get over my Rodgers thing.
Well, you got higher expectations. Week two against the Lions, whatever. You want to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. No. We beat the Lions. Come on. At home. Come on. You guys want to celebrate around here? I save my celebrations for championships. Yeah. I save my celebration for hoisting the NBA title, which the Bucks did 9 weeks ago today. I save my celebrations for the World Series that this team is about to win, the Brewers, coming up, even though they lost last night and the Cardinals are really starting to make me nervous. I save my celebrations... for when it's the day of the year that is in a song by Earth, Wind, and Fire. September. That's when I save my celebrations. The 21st of September. We don't celebrate in September. We celebrate in October, in February. Not on the 21st of September. Big Show up next. Do you remember? 21st night of September. Love was changing the mind of September while chasing the clouds away. Arms ringing in the key that's so.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.